Hello there, and welcome to the Cinema Cafe podcast, the film podcast by the fans for the fans. This is episode 93, and my name is Joshua Liu.
And this is Penny Lam.
And I'd like to thank everyone for joining us as we review new movie releases, talk some film news, and share our general loves for all things cinema. There's a lot of love to go around, and we want to share it. Now, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog at cinemacafepodcast.blogspot.com. So we are back with another episode of this movie film podcast. So Penny, how have you been? Thank you again for joining me on this another episode. And what's
coerced,
new?
Coerced, really.
Coerced. Well, we are in full swing, at least this time. I'm sadly still in New York while the San Diego Comic-Con is going on. So a lot of new comic news, a lot of new film news as always. But, you know, I guess the only thing I got to look forward to is the New York Comic-Con in October. But Penny, yeah, I know you love that. You'll go 1 year with me to see
maybe
all of the hubbub.
One day.
I really look forward to it every year. So Penny, what's new?
Nothing much. We just got back from a wedding and
yes, up
now,
in Princeton. Princeton's beautiful. I've never been there before.
Yeah.
That's a really beautiful area.
If we have
area.
A kid, that's where I want them to go to school.
Like a snobby Princeton kid?
Yeah. Like that.
I'm all for a really up-and-coming, bright community college kid. How about that?
Negative.
All right, so what else is new? We did go to a wedding. It was actually quite beautiful.
Yes. It was hot, but beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It was like the hottest day of the year, and
yeah,
the wedding was outside, and I was baking in my tux. So let's just say that.
Yeah. I don't know. Nothing much. As always, just work,
mm-hmm,
hanging out, enjoying the summer.
The thing is, like, I always felt like I should have been a teacher because they have the three months off during the summer, and the only time I don't want to work, granted, as always, but the only time I actually don't want to work is the summer. Because
so you
I always
would
just
be home killing the electric bill with AC going
go
on 24/7.
Or go to the mall or hang out in the movie theater. That's what I would do.
Okay.
You know, why not?
Just hang out in the lobby.
I can do that.
Like
lobby
everybody
of our building. Yeah, where it's free AC. But yes, so, you know, everything's going well. I've been really busy myself. Penny and I are thinking about taking a trip to Chicago because I want to go to a Chicago Cubs game. And, you know, I'm really actually interested in checking out the local theaters and the local comic shops there. So hopefully we'll get around to doing that. I'm really not looking forward to the heat because I do not like the heat. Now, because it seems like, you know, there's been a bit of a lull in movies. There's always, like, a big blockbuster that comes out, and then next week, really nothing. I guess Madagascar 3 is the big, or is it 4 now? I don't even know. Continental Drift is the big blockbuster movie of the this week, but we didn't. Honestly, I have no interest in seeing it. I'll probably catch it on DVD. But, yes. And then, of course, next week is the big blockbuster movie that is Batman. Dark Knight
Cannot
Rises.
Wait.
Almost a 3-hour film, 2-hour 46-minute.
Whatever. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. That's all I care about.
And an almost unrecognizable Thomas Hardy.
Oof, I do like him.
So because of that, we don't really have a lot of movies to review. We have two.
Yes, we do. Don't say that. Don't underplay it.
We have 3 movies to review. Finally, nothing from the New York Asian Film Festival since it's over.
No, I'm kidding.
Although if you are interested in Japanese cinema, I think it's called the Japanese Cuts. Showing the cutting edge of Japanese cinema, is playing in New York in the Japan Society.
Stop pushing your Asian-ness onto other people.
These are really good films, so definitely
okay,
check out some of 13 Assassins, Takeshi Miike's 13 Assassins there. Also, Takeshi Miike's Ace Ventura, Ace Attorney, so definitely want to check those out. But, well, we're going to talk about 3 movies, 2, you know, quicker reviews, and then 1 main review. One of the first movies we want to watch is a little film called 21 Jump Street. Now, this is a 2012 action comedy. It's directed by Phil Lord and Chris Miller of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs fame, and it's based on the 1987 television series of the same name. Now, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill star as two recent Police Academy graduates who get recruited into a new police program called 21 Jump Street, whose mission is to infiltrate a high school and find out who is selling a new synthetic drug. Now, honestly, I have to say I had zero interest in seeing this, but Penny kept on, because honestly,
this may be
Penny's favorite movie
of all time.
Yeah, well, at least of the year, because she watched this twice in 3 days. In fact, basically forcing me to watch this as she moped around about how I don't care about her because I didn't watch this one yet.
You don't care about me.
Like
why
I said,
you
this is your
already?
This might be your favorite movie of all time because I don't know if there's many movies that you ever watch twice, let alone twice in 3 days.
Booyah!
You're not like me, just watches the same movies over and over. So, but I gotta say, you're not wrong in profusing its greatness. Oddly enough, because
I
first saw the trailers, this looked like the worst movie.
It's so bad. It's so bad, but it like exceeded my expectations and then some.
Yeah, what makes this film work so well?
And when people say it's like no, really, it's good. I'm like, they're lying.
Yeah,
I was like, no way. These people don't know anything. They don't watch movies.
I was talking with
these
my coworker.
Are not movie people.
We are a child of the 80s. I was talking to my coworker, who's also a child of the 80s, a little older than you and I. And he said, keeps saying that, yeah, everybody keeps telling me how awesome it is, but I had no interest because it looked awful. But everybody keeps talking about how awesome it is. Now, as I was mentioning, the reason why this film works so well is that it has its tongue firmly in cheek while a relaunch of, you know, the well-not-so-classic television series. This is also equal parts spoof, since it references how absurd the concept and overall narrative is, and it's because it doesn't take itself too seriously that the film ends up charming and funny instead of, you know, kind of groan-worthy. Also, the comedy is both funny at times and incredibly juvenile, as it blends a great balance of the two, mixed with some absurd drama. And you know, the cast is incredible, and this may be Channing Tatum's. Now, I haven't seen Magic Mike, but this for me
still
so far
not either. I'm so upset.
Is Channing Tatum's best performance as he plays the dumb jock trying to be more, and Jonah Hill is perfect for the insecure, nebbish kind of self, you know, kind of self. Loathing and scene referencing character who is also trying to grow. Great cameras as well, not going to mention any of them, but there's also great cameras. So if you grew up watching the original show, you know, your mind will be blown by the cameras. And you know, even if you didn't watch the original show, you'll really, really enjoy this kind of show because it's a, you know, comedy. So for me, I give this a DVD
movie.
So I give this a DVD buy rating. Yeah, it's honestly that good. Now, Penny, we know what you think. This
I was
is
like,
your favorite
I can't
movie.
Do. A bring your lunch from home because it's already out of the theaters.
This is your There Will Be Blood. This
yeah,
is your
this,
No Country
this,
for Old Men.
This is that once it comes out on Criterion Edition,
yes.
You need to get this on Criterion Blu-ray.
This is like how like I kept putting off watching There Will Be Blood, and when I finally got to watch it, my mind was completely shattered by its
All right,
brilliance.
You're just being
that's
an
your,
ass now.
That's your
now you're just,
to 21
now you're just
Jump
being
Street.
Hurtful.
Hey, you never know. Days Like Fuse finally came out on Criterion, so you never know.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Penny, you know, you really like this film a lot. Why don't you talk about it a bit?
That's all I needed to say.
Exceeded
Criterion Edition Blu-ray.
It exceeded your expectations.
It exceeded it, like, tenfold. It was hilarious. I was dying laughing. I was ready for Joshua to come home because I was off that day, and I was like, "Oh, you're home. Let's put it on
yeah,
the
right
DVD
away, right
play
after
and let's
you
watch
it.
He's like, "Didn't you just watch?" I was like, "Yeah, but I can watch it again." And he was like, "No, we're not gonna watch it again." And I was like, "No, we really need to watch it again." And he thought I was ridiculous,
yes.
And I still am ridiculous for wanting to do that. But it was really funny. It didn't take itself so seriously, and I like that, you know.
Well, that's why it works.
And that's the thing. It also spoke to me because I was a big fan of the show, and you know, I could relate to their time period as well because, you know, Jonah Hill, and there was like a flashback at the beginning of when they were in high school, and he looked like Slim Shady.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just like funny. And these were things that I could relate to, and I think that's why I enjoyed it probably more than most.
And it actually had a lot of laugh-out moments.
Everyone I talked to liked it. Like,
yeah.
They've seen it.
I don't know one
it.
Person who's watched this and said they didn't
right.
like it.
I think the challenge is actually
getting people, to,
getting
watch
people
it.
To watch
well,
it.
Well, I
right.
think it made a good amount of money when it came out. And they are setting up for a sequel. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a fun film. And, I'm sure many people
and
out there...
who doesn't like James Franco's brother?
Exactly. I don't
whatever
even know
his name.
Something
is.
Franco.
Something Franco.
James Franco Jr. So, like, you know...
No, that's not how it works.
Does it work like that?
Not, your brother gets the Jr., dummy.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, are like us out there if you haven't already watched it. Just, like, it looks incredibly stupid and juvenile. And while
and
it is stupid and juvenile, it takes itself that way. And that's
right.
why it makes this film
it's
really
like
work
it's
that well.
Trying not
yeah.
to be... and thinking it's like something smarter than it is.
It's actually, but, yeah, but because of that, it actually turns out to be a smart comedy.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it really works. So definitely check out.
It's meta.
21 Jump Street. You give this a DVD buy.
Is that meta? Am I using the term? I think it's meta.
Slightly meta.
It's meta.
All right.
I'm just going to go.
Did you say
meta.
A DVD buy or rental for you?
I said a DVD Blu-ray Criterion Edition buy.
I don't know about Blu-ray, but it is a buy.
All right. Full force.
The second review we want to talk about before our main review is a movie we finally got a chance to see after shattered box office expectations and came out like it's made so much money and it's absurd. But it's a movie called Ted. Now this is a 2012 comedy and is the first live action directorial kind of debut of director Seth MacFarlane of Family Guy fame, and it basically stars Mark Wahlberg, don't call me Marky Mark, as a guy now in his like 35 years old who as a child wished on a shooting star that his teddy bear came to life. Now his teddy bear came to life after a lot of hubbub. They've settled down, being roommates, but because of that he hasn't really grown and he's dating a beautiful woman played by Mila Kunis who wants him to grow up and move out of his place with his teddy bear best friend and become adult finally. So in a lot of ways this film is about growing up, and if you like Family Guy, this is clearly a lot of Family Guy humor. There's no real cutaways, but they kind of have that similar cutaway kind of humor that Family Guy has that doesn't reference anything actually in the scene. And a lot of voice actors from Family Guy are also in this movie. So
Meg's
in it, Lois in it, yeah, of course Brian and Peter are in it because they're all the same voices. So I have to say that while I honestly didn't really have any interest in seeing this film, but because it's been getting actually fairly good reviews, Penny and I got a chance to see it, and while I don't think it's a good film, I also don't think it's a bad film. It actually is a lot, it's much better than I thought it was going to be.
It's no 21 Jump Street.
No. But, I mean, like, it does have some, fine moments of comedy, but it's more like, again, more along the Family Guy, gross out, stupid, juvenile humor, and there's not a lot of payoff. There's some great performances by Mark Wahlberg, who just has a fantastic, brilliant, Bostonian kind of accent, kind of juvenile humor.
You mean playing himself.
Basically playing himself. Mila Kunis
Say hello to your mother for me.
Great. There's a lot of great actors in this film, and all, there's a lot of, and I was stunned by this, there's half the film is basically Flash Gordon. And the love of Flash Gordon. Well, I can get behind that. It just felt kind of odd, but it's really nice seeing the cameos in this film. And the special effects with the overall teddy bear is amazing, I have to say. It's
agreed.
Almost Golem-esque.
Yeah.
It's really brilliant. Never takes you out of the film. He looks alive.
Yeah.
And it's actually fantastically well done. And, the film does have heart. It has a lot to say about growing up. But because it's from, written by Seth MacFarlane, directed by Seth MacFarlane, I don't think it really goes that extra step that it needed to be a really heartfelt comedy about a guy growing up and, overcoming his childhood. So, for me, I give this a rental. It's not a DVD yet. I give this a DVD / matinee, maybe even a little below that. Maybe like if you catch it on cable.
Yes.
Definitely,
or on a plane.
On a plane, definitely.
That's
check
me.
It out. It's a good film, but I just don't think it was particularly well written. It's basically an extended Family Guy episode. There's also an absurd amount of pop culture reference. He's like, do I sound like Peter Griffin? Like they have a lot of references to it, which kind of felt as funny, but also feels kind of odd.
Right. It takes you out of it a little bit.
It does, but again, great cameos. Penny, what did you think of the movie Ted? Now, you actually didn't want to see this at all.
I didn't, and I still don't. I don't think I was better for watching it.
You're not a better human being
I'm
now?
I'm not a better human being. I didn't. I mean, there were funny moments, but there were never really these laugh-out-loud moments.
But there are some scenes that I think you and I will be referencing. There's one scene where Mark Wahlberg farts and blows it by these guys in a restaurant, these guys in a suit.
Yes, it's like, why would somebody do this to us?
Yes, why would they do this to us?
And then the next guy next to him,
another businessman.
Basically screaming, I just came here for a business meeting.
Yeah, there's some really funny scenes, but they're too far and between,
Agreed. And, I didn't really love it. It was okay. It was entertaining for what it was. I guess it didn't feel too long, so
it wasn't long. Yeah,
it didn't feel like, hey, I wasted my time, if you will. But you're right. I think parts of it just took me out of the element. But I don't know, it's just weird because the whole concept was a little bit weird, but
yeah, I mean, but what it's a guy who's a teddy bear, yeah.
Right, that's the crux of the whole film, but I don't know, at some point it just felt cheap, so you know, it was like some cheap thrills, if you will.
I agree with it. I think I liked it better than you did, but I also didn't find myself laughing a lot. I did not think the relationship between Ted and Mark Wahlberg was actually very good. Yeah. In a lot of,
but it was really hard for me, at least, to get outside of hearing Peter Griffin.
And I agree. But I think it has a lot of good to say about what it means to grow up. Now, he's way too old. He's 35. Agreed. It's a little too late.
Yeah,
and it makes no sense why Mila Kunis even wants to be with him.
Like,
but
when we talked about this, there was like that weird, creepy part with Giovanni Ribisi. Like, that was weird. And there were definitely some weird scenes.
Yeah, for a short film, there also felt like a lot of too much, like,
random stuff.
Yeah, like that could have easily been cut out.
Like,
and not
Ryan
have hurt
Reynolds,
the film. Yeah.
Like, I get it. He's cute. Fine. Great cameo. But, like, it didn't add any value to it either.
I mean, you could have cut out a lot of these scenes, made it an hour, 15-minute film, and you wouldn't have missed anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there is that. But, yeah, all right. So, what rating
would
you give it?
I would skip it, I think, honestly. Oh,
so, Sneak Out, I Want My Money Back rating?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it's, like, I don't even think it's a rental.
Okay. I mean, I can't
guess
blame
it's,
you.
It's between, like, a Sneak Out and, hey, if you catch it on the plane.
If you're, I'll say this. If you're a
A basic cable.
If you are a Family Guy fan, a current Family Guy fan, I can't say I'm one of those. I'm a huge fan of the first three seasons of Family Guy, but not in, you know, this last, like, four or five seasons. I don't even know how long it's been going on. I still watch it, but I don't particularly enjoy it anymore. But if you are a Family Guy fan, then definitely check this out, because it has, in a lot of ways, it's a little more, it's obviously more mature than that, but in a lot of ways, it is an extended Family Guy episode. All right, those are two reviews of 21 Jump Street and the movie Ted. Now, on to our main feature film review. No, this isn't a flashback to 10 years ago, Penny, but it kind of feels that way. It's the movie The Amazing Spider-Man.
You're going to stay with your aunt and uncle for a little while. You'll be safe here.
Where are you going?
Something your mom and I have to do.
I want to go with you.
Yeah, we have to go.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Parker.
Not much to tell, really.
Peter lives with his aunt and uncle.
I forgot all about that thing. It was your dad's.
What are you doing here?
I have nothing.
Do not get me in trouble. Don't touch anything.
It's The Amazing Spider-Man. Now, this 2012 superhero comic book adapted film is directed by Mark Webb of 500 Days of Summer fame, and is a reboot of the original Spidey movie franchise. Now, Andrew Garfield stars as Peter Parker, who must battle the Lizard, played by Rhysey Fonz, to discover the reasons behind his parents' deaths and save New York City. Emma Stone stars as Gwen Stacy, the love interest of Peter, whose father, Captain Stacy, played by Dennis Leary, is out to bring Spider-Man to justice. Now, I hesitated to give a synopsis of this film, since it's, well, another Spider-Man movie. And as I mentioned before, a decade after Sony, because, you know, as we all know, Penny, 10 years is a long time. People forget.
Too long to wait. Yeah.
Especially after the third movie was at 3-4 years ago. That's a long time. So, thankfully,
I've been
thankfully they remade this
waiting.
Movie.
I'm being breath.
Yeah, so A decade after Sony released their first Spider-Man movie, a movie franchise that basically showed how much money comic movies could make, Sony releases this relaunch, same as original, but with a better looking cast. And, you know, obviously this is a cash cow, there's no way to look around it. Sony has to make a movie, well, one, it's because Spider-Man movies make crap load of money, but even beyond that, Sony has to make a movie every 5 years, or the rights revert back to Marvel.
Nasty.
Similar how they do with, Fantastic Four. They gotta make this movie. I would love for Marvel to, because clearly they don't know how to do it. 20th Century Fox.
Awful.
With X-Men and, of course, Ghost Rider. So, again, that's really the crux of this movie. It's a cash cow. Was it necessary to relaunch this movie franchise?
No.
I mean, yeah. I don't think so, but since it's part three was so panned, maybe they wanted a fresh start, especially considering Raimi and Tobey Maguire were set for huge pay increases if a Spider-Man 4 was ever made. So now we have the incredibly cute duo of Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, two actors who embodied the characters so well. And honestly, this movie could have been crap, but because it has Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy, who's my favorite female comic character and one of my favorite female actresses right now, it would just been magic. However, with the Gwen Stacy, Emma Stone blinders off, this film, while entertaining, is pretty much unnecessary. Sure, the lizard looks great, and there's incredible chemistry between Parker and Gwen, but the whole angle of Peter's parents' death felt forced, trying to build a whole new mythos, and a lot of the throwbacks to the original movie origin, especially with how Peter gets the idea to put the mask on from a wrestling match.
Yeah, that was kind of
just bad, real bad. And, you know, also they try to change the mythos of the whole thing surrounding Uncle Ben, and slight spoilers here, they don't really ever say the classic famous Spidey line. We're not going to go into it here. And I think that takes away a lot of the film and a lot about who Peter Parker is.
I think
some
of it's implied, but yeah.
Yeah, but you have to, go with it. So,
Go with it.
You have to go with it. And that's the thing. While this movie's incredibly long, at 2 hours and 30 minutes, it still felt like it was missing things and felt rushed. You know, like it was missing a lot of scenes. And I really thought the directing was, good. And the acting superb, even though I don't think director Mark Webb does action scenes really well. Like 500 Days of Summer, we know that he does, human interaction really, really well.
Yeah.
Especially between a man and a woman, a budding romance. But this is his first action movie, and it felt kind of like chaotic, and you couldn't really see things. So, and I think that really hurt the film. Mm. But
I'm surprised that when there were holes in the movie, that I don't know, would a director be like, hey, we're missing something here.
I don't know. I think a good director, a sure-handed with director, would notice that. And
I guess I don't know when a movie is filmed. Is that the director's fault? Clearly it's the screenwriter's fault. But for a director to be like, hey, there's a hole here.
I mean, the director should recognize it, especially when they're directing and piecing things together.
And they're like, hey, something's missing.
But a lot of the stuff happens. A lot of the stuff is, we'll go into the things that, the plot holes that you're mentioning a little later on. But there's certain times where you see things on the cutting floor. Maybe a lot of scenes were cut out.
Right.
Like, there's scenes in the actual trailer that don't exist in this movie. Like, there's a scene where the lizard's like, you don't even know who you really are. You know, implying something about Spider-Man and his powers. Right. That was completely cut out of this film. There's certain scenes. And also, in the trailer, they show a scene between the lizard and the Indian chief guy. The Indian chief is like, disappears in this movie after a certain point. You know,
who's
the guy
the
who's
chief?
Bossing around Rizzi Fonz. Who's
him.
He disappears completely. In the trailer, we see him with the lizard and we see his fate. We never see that in the movie. So there's a lot of scenes that are actually cut out, so I have to wonder if...
I like how you call him the Indian chief.
He's the chief of that. I don't know what his name... Like, he's not Native American, but... And that's really it. The screenplay is pretty poor. And ultimately, it's a narrative that lets the whole movie down. I would say this is better than the third Spider-Man movie, but not as good as the first two, even though I never liked Tobey as Peter. And this kind of hurts me, because, none of my friends were excited to see this but me, because I love Gwen Stacy, I'm a big Spider-Man fan, and I don't, it's unnecessary, but I still go with it, because I'm like, look at this cast, it's going to be great.
Right.
And that's what ultimately disappointed me with the overall screenplay. But Penny, what'd you think of The Amazing Spider-Man?
I mean, I liked it, but I think, as we touched on it before. There were definitely some holes in the movie, but you know, for me, I take it for face value, right? So overall, I did enjoy the movie. You know, I love Andrew Garfield. I think there was so much chemistry between him and Emma Stone. So I think it really worked. I think the acting was superb mm-hmm. on all ends.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the cast was great. But I think, like we said, that the lacking was really within the screenplay or, you know, where there's a little bit of holes. I know you were more around the action. I mean, for me, I don't really care for that. So I thought it was fine. But
okay.
You know, that's not something I look out for or, you know, or care for.
Yeah.
But I thought the story was good. But like you said, there were definitely some leaps of faith in the story that you just had to just assume things, mm-hmm. whether they're right or wrong.
Yeah.
But overall, I did enjoy it, though.
Well, this is an incredibly good-looking cast, and I think they embody
how can you not?
Yeah, and they embody the characters so well. Andrew Garfield is the perfect Peter Parker, and this is the Peter Parker I've always wanted. Peter Parker is supposed to be like, when he's swinging and fighting, he's supposed to quip. He's supposed to say jokes because that's his defense mechanism because he's doing something crazy.
Right.
So that's how he deals with it. The original like Spider-Man movies didn't really have that.
But I like that he was a little bit awkward and, you know, he's good looking, but you can still see that he is a little bit awkward.
Yeah,
even the way he speaks, he doesn't speak with like overconfidence or anything. It's
he's
a little bit on the nerdy, geeky side.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of straddles the balance because this is a really good looking cast. Andrew Garfield plays like this geek who gets picked on.
But he's also like a skinny, lanky kid, so you can kind of see where he's kind of quote unquote.
Like he's a guy that doesn't know he's good looking, even though he is. And Emma Stone plays a science girl geek who's always alone. It's a little odd because they're so good looking, but you know that's just how it is.
And her lispy lisp.
I'm sorry. So continue. What else?
No. I mean, I thought that you know, I liked it. I enjoyed myself watching the movie. It was fun, but you know, like I said, there were a little bit of holes. I thought the cast was great, though.
Yeah. Now, we're gonna go into minor spoilers here because we're gonna talk a little about the plot holes, and they are ridiculous. Now, we're not gonna give anything major away. There's nothing in these plot holes that give anything major away in the overall plot, and still won't keep your enjoyment up from it, but I just wanted to talk about them for a bit. The first one is that Gwen Stacy is an intern at Oscorp. Now, this movie's trying to build a little between the mythos with Oscorp and Spider-Man and Peter Parker and his powers. Now, as we know, classic one in this movie as well, Peter gets bit by a spider. The radioactive spider gets his powers.
Did not know that.
You know, they change away how he uses his web shooters a little bit from the movies. Is more in tune with the comic. This is more like the Ultimate Universe Spider-Man instead of the traditional 6-1. Never mind. That's comic book geekness. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah, what are you talking about? The 6-1.
Exactly. But
issue number.
They're trying to build up this mythos. Stay after the credit scenes. The do show explain more of that about that. But with his parents' death and how he got his powers, it might be more in tune with destiny, and that bothered me a bit. But anyway, Gwen Stacy again is an intern at Oscorp, a highly guarded biotech company that deals with the world-shattering devices with heavy security. And
multi-billion-dollar company.
Yes, exactly. And yet, as an intern, she has access to high school. She has access to every part of this building. So when Peter says, "Hey, I need a serum," she's like, "Oh yeah, I know how to do this. Let me go into Oscorp and just make the serum."
Yes.
Yeah, it's that easy. Let's just say that. So if you ever need a serum, go to Gwen Stacy. To save the world,
Or any student intern at a high-tech company.
That all handprints, they all have access to everything.
Yep.
Now also, how did Lizard lose his arm? What about his marriage? They never even mention it. And
he's married?
But it's the crux of why he wants his arm back. You know, and that's really it. Also, why did Peter set up the camera to take pictures of Lizard? I know because I'm a Spider-Man fan, but it's never explained and then quickly forgotten. And honestly, that's the real problem with this movie. It can't stand on its own. They only use that scene to say property of Peter Parker so the Lizard knows who Spider-Man is.
Well, property of Peter Parker meaning that he finds the camera.
Yes. That's so now he knows Spider-Man is Peter Parker. And also,
I'm sure there were other ways to do that, or even just tying that storyline a little bit tighter.
Now, you and I were talking.
Because he doesn't, like, when he was setting it up, I didn't even know what he was doing. I thought he was just trying to catch Lizard. And next thing I know, it's like, huh? He's taking pictures?
Yeah, because he saw an ad quickly for Daily Bugle accepting money, but you don't notice these things because they're so quick.
It went so fast. It was a transitional scene.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what really hurts us. You and I were talking about the lizard and who he is, what's his identity,
right.
what
I'm
he
like,
wants.
Is he good or bad?
He's
like, I don't know.
For a villain, he's incredibly, you know, he's not very well fleshed out. I know
right.
all his backstory because of
right.
the comics. But for a movie, they show none of that. And if you don't know anything about the character previously, all of these things about him, all his kind of like reasoning, all his aspirations, all his goals, none of it makes any sense because they don't explain
right.
anything.
Yeah,
know?
No, I agree. And I mean, I just had to make an assumption. But the thing is, like, to now, I still don't know if he's really good or bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know his backstory. I mean, there was the one scene that we talked about. I'm like, I noticed that he had a wedding ring. But then again, I only noticed because, you know, probably because we only got married
yeah.
recently. But I don't
it's
know if
really
anyone
caught it. It's a
really
quick scene that you don't even
Right,
don't
and
even
it wasn't like he zoomed
on
in on it. It was just they were in his apartment. I just happened to notice it. But they don't get into it. I had to make assumptions like, oh, he must be separated or his wife died and therefore, you know, he obviously is still mourning her or whatever.
None of that is ever explained.
I had to paint this picture in my head. I made that up. I have no idea.
The problem with this is that...
And I still don't have any idea.
You know, it requires you a large knowledge of it. His ultimate character, you know, his ultimate character arc is never really, you know, delved into. And you don't really connect with him because you don't understand why he's doing it. You don't even know if he's good or bad.
Right.
You have no idea. Does a lizard make him bad?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I do know, but they don't show
you. You're not
you,
telling me.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they don't show you in the movie. Just like when you asked me, I was like, oh, just wait and watch. Just,
right.
I was hoping they would explain it. They don't.
But they didn't. So
they really didn't.
So I'm just dealing.
And, you know, and again, that's really the problem with this movie. It can't stand on its own. It's made for the mass audience and not for Spider-Man fans, and yet it requires that you know a lot about Spider-Man lore in order to piece things together, because it doesn't really explain a lot. It can be argued that people should know already the Spider-Man lore, but this is a relaunch in a separate movie, so those kind of assumptions are just lazy screenwriting. And
right.
honestly, like, out of all the movies, even 3 was a mess. But it still had, it wasn't lazy.
It was a mess.
It just had too many villains. This
right.
is actually felt like lazy screenwriting. It's like,
right.
you know, you write a scene for, you have to connect, as you mentioned, Penny, you have to connect the dots. Like, you have, you know, number, you have the point one and point three.
Right.
But you don't have point two, so you have no
so you
idea
have to
how,
make a leap.
You have to make a leap how it got to point three.
Right.
And I don't understand, like, that makes no sense. Like,
right.
again, this is a 2.5 hour movie, and yet
you
so much felt missing.
Right.
And it's just incredibly, I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, Lizard is a great villain, as they've always teased him in the previous 3 movies. So it's nice to see him finally on the big screen. And, you know, and Garfield and Stone are just magnetic and brilliant in their respective roles. Dennis Leary's great as Captain Stacy. Risey Fiennes is just there. I don't
right.
think he had a really
yeah.
a great personality as a villain, and I think that's
right.
what really hurt the film. But I think he looked great. But yeah, a lot of people are missing. Sally Fields?
Sally Fields.
Sally Fields as Aunt May.
And
Martin Sheen as Uncle Ben. Amazing, amazing
yeah.
cast when you think about all the people in this movie. You know, and my only fear is that I hope, you know, I know that it's all about Oscorps and the lore around Oscorps. I hope they don't
right.
bring back the Green Goblin in the next 3 films.
We'll
because
see.
I think that'll really hurt, because we've already dealt with the Goblin.
Right.
In the 3 films, this will be another trilogy.
But how many other villains are there? I mean, I'm guessing there's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they still haven't done Mysterio.
I don't know what that means.
They did Sandman. They did, they haven't done Vulture. I love the Vulture. They haven't done Kraven the Hunter, which could be really good.
No
so,
idea what any of the things you're saying means.
I mean, they could do Venom again, because Venom was so poorly done
right.
in the 3rd movie.
Yeah, I mean, if it was one of the weaker characters, then yeah.
Yeah.
Or even any of the characters on the 3rd one,
yeah.
I think.
My only fear is that like I said, this is a trilogy, and they're bringing back the screenwriters for the 2nd film.
Great.
So that is my fear. But yeah, again, Penny, like you said, you and I don't necessarily see films when we're watching in the same way.
Right.
Did a lot of these points bother you?
I mean, they did. I mean, these were all points that we discussed, so they were issues for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not while you're watching the film, at least.
No, but some of it did dawn on me, like, okay, I'm just going to have to, like, it's not going to stop me from understanding the film.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, man, because I didn't know X, Y, or Z, you know, they lost me. It wasn't quite like that, but it would have been nice if I got extra background, you know, information or, you know, things like that. I think it would have helped paint the picture better, or at least, you know, understand some of the characters or some of the rationale on
yeah.
things and reasonings for things that happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to review this film, because it's a totally unnecessary remake that still follows a lot of the key plot points from the initial Spider-Man movie to the T. So when you're watching this, but then again, you're watching this cast, you're like, wow, this is an amazing cast, and they work so well together that you try to forget that it is unnecessary. It's kind of hard to review this film. So I give this a DVD/matinee. Again, an unnecessary remake with an incredible cast that really embodies who the characters are. I'm not a fan of what they're doing with, it seems like they're doing with the Spider-Man mythos. A lot of the action scenes weren't well done, although the character scenes that Mark Webb does so well. Maybe they need a different director to do the action scenes, I don't know. Or he needs a separate, like a second unit camera to do those scenes instead of him. But yeah, so again, I get to say DVD matinee. I was hoping for so much more. It could have been so much more, and ultimately I was let down, but it's because of the cast, even though it's very similar to the original film, that I still found enjoyment with this film. How about you, Penny?
Yeah, I would agree. DVD matinee, just because, you know, I thought it was enjoyable. I mean, the cast did a great job, but like you said, I think the story, the screenwriting really fell short a little bit. I think the director, Mark Webb, I think he did a good job, but like you said, with the holes, you know, I really wonder if, you know, if you notice these holes, if he could have done something to patch it up or at least, you know, fix it if it wasn't lacking in the screenwriting. But overall, I still enjoyed it, though. So I would definitely say it's DVD matinee because, you know, it wasn't bad.
I mean, ultimately, it's kind of tough when you're, you know, shooting scenes out of order, what's missing, what's not. And a lot of, again, we mentioned a lot of stuff may be on the cutting room floor because a lot of stuff in the trailers didn't show up here.
Right.
But, you know, ultimately, what are you going to do? It's just sad.
What are you going to do?
I was really excited. And again, we saw this movie, and we didn't mention this, we saw this movie in 3D. It is maybe unnecessary, but I enjoyed it because I'm a fan of not the immersive 3D, but I'm a fan of, hey, stuff's hitting your face. And the web shooters do come out of the screen, so I enjoy
a
that.
A little bit. It didn't happen that much.
No, but, you know, again, unnecessary to watch it in 3D, but I'm a fan of that kind of stuff. So definitely, that is our review of The Amazing Spider-Man. With that out of the way, let's move right on to the end of this week's show. All right, we would like to thank everyone for joining us for another episode of the Cinema Cafe podcast. And before we get to which movies we'll be reviewing for the next show, here are the upcoming new movie releases for the next 2 weeks, starting with July 20th. A little known kind of Christopher Nolan's indie trilogy, kind of indie films, right? Finally,
small budget,
come to an end in The Dark Knight Rises, a documentary about the final performance of LCD Sound System in Shut Up and Play the Hits, the new French film from the artist screenwriter and the chorus director talk about pedigree, Hits in War of the Buttons, and lastly, another French drama about World War II and family in The Well Digger's Daughter. Now for the movies released on July 27th, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, and team battle alien invaders in the comedy The Watch, which actually starting to look a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be. That's the one with the aliens, when they find the alien. It's time to step up to poverty once again with a couple of So You Think You Can Dance dancers in Step Up Revolution. The indie rom-com about a writer who literally wills a love interest into existence. And Ruby Sparks, Matthew McConaughey's All Right, stars in a new comedy thriller about murder that has been slapped with an NC-17 rating, Penny.
Damn.
And they're not going to change it, so.
Ooh, crazy.
Not many theaters, but check it out in Killer Zoe. I think it's because of the violence. And lastly, Danish dark comedy about a man who kidnaps his nephew to prove to his wife he can be a good father in Clown. I heard this movie's incredible. So I definitely want to check that out.
Why would you kidnap somebody?
To prove you could be a good father?
You just kidnapped someone. That was rule number one of being a bad parent.
So,
kidnapping someone else's kid.
So, Penny, in those 2 weeks, any that you're interested in seeing?
Duh. Batman.
Is this blasphemy when I say I'm not that interested
in
the film?
I know. You're weird.
Then again, I was interested in Spider-Man, and I was wrong about that. So
you're wrong
we'll see
a lot
about
of
that.
Times.
I do. Anything else?
All right.
You want to see The Watch, don't you? The Watch looks pretty good.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. I really, really want to see Clown.
I still want to see Magic Mike. I don't know what you're talking about. I still need to go see it.
The Danish dark comedy is supposed to be amazing in The Clown. And Ruby Sparks is right up my alley. And it stars Paul Dano, Penny. I love that kind of indie comedy.
I'm not watching it.
So I'm really around to say that.
I'm over him. He's my... What's his face?
Michael Cera? Eisenberg?
Yeah, both of them.
Well, you they love Jesse Eisenberg. You
I
love don't. The Social Network.
I didn't love it. I thought it was all right.
I do love Zombieland with him and Emma Stone. That was a good film. Yeah. And, of
they
course...
They can all hang out together.
And of course, I've seen all three films, and I'm still excited to see the fourth film, Penny, in Step Up Revolution.
You're weird.
I've seen Step Up 3D probably like four times.
Miami.
I've seen like four, really?
Yeah.
I don't even know anything about the plot.
I don't know either. Someone told me that.
I don't know anything about Miami. The quote unquote plot.
There's about. It's gang related. I swear. Is it? Yes.
Well, step up to poverty, as they always do.
It's gang or mafia related, one or the other.
So you got to dance. How awesome would that be? They're getting shot at, and they got to dance around the bullets.
No.
Oh.
That sounds awful.
All right. Well, if you have any comments or feedback, you can reach us at cinemacafepodcast@gmail.com. Also, remember to review the show on iTunes and check out our blog.
Yeah, none of you do that. So
Blogspot.
Get on top of that.
Yeah, get on top of that, please. And, you know, as always,
calling people out.
I do update the show. I do update our blog with Fantastic Short Film Friday, which I always enjoy. So definitely check those out. So, as always, my name is Joshua Liu.
And I'm Penny Lam.
Have a great 2 weeks. Sadly, it's a little too hot for me, Penny. But right. I guess I'll have
to end it so that we can bathe in the
turn
AC.
On my fan and the AC again. So it's good to be back. That's what's always great about movies, isn't it, Penny? AC time
yes,
in the movies.
This
all
is
right.
True.
You're
shut it down.
All right.
Shut it down.
Happy movie watching.